that there are other verses in scripture that describe eternal life, but these few verses not only describe eternal life, but they are rich with promises. For we note that Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and when I'm finished, I'll come and get you, so that where I am, you will be also. And so those of us who have received Christ as Savior and Lord of our lives, we can look forward to eternal peace and joy with the Lord in heaven, because Jesus has promised it to all who believe. And we can stand on his promises. Although the details of eternity is unknown, we still need not fear, because Jesus says he's preparing a place for us, and we will, yes, Lord, spend eternity with him. And that's why we never have to worry about our loved ones who die in the Lord, because those who die in the Lord will one day be raised from the dead and shall forever be with the Lord. Yeah. And that's what Jesus was saying in the text when he said, where I am, you may be also. But then in verse 4, he suggested that that the disciples knew where he was going and that they knew the way. But then Thomas said in verse 5, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And my brothers and sisters, this is a question that everybody needs to know the answer to. And that is, how can we know the way? Well, the answer is right here in the text in verse 6, which reveals three ways we can know the way. But first, we must know Jesus. And when we know Jesus, then you will understand, first of all, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And that's why he told the disciples, who were a precursor of the church, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There's enough room in my Father's house. If this was not so, I wouldn't have told you that I was going to prepare a place for you. And then when I get everything ready, I'm going to come back and get you, so that you'll always be where I am. But the question is, how can we know the way? Well, Jesus says, I am the way. Now notice he doesn't say, Reverend Coleman, I'll make a way. He said, but I am the way. He doesn't say, I'll show you a way, but I am the way. He doesn't say, I am a way, but he says, I am the way. In other words, Jesus is the only way to heaven and eternal life. And my brothers and sisters, this is the most basic and important passage in scripture. How can I know the way to God? Only through Jesus Christ. He's the only way, because he is both God and man. And so by uniting our lives with his, we are united with the Father, and all the benefits of being God's child will be ours. And therefore, we who are saved and those who will be saved can trust Jesus to take you to the Father when this life is over. But Jesus declared also in Matthew 7:21, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, would enter into the kingdom. He said, only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter. For instance, you know, there are some professed athletes who can talk a great game, but that tells you nothing about their athletic skills. And in the same way, everyone who talks about heaven don't belong to God's kingdom. Meaning Jesus is more concerned about our walk than he is about our talk. He wants us to do right, not just to say the right words, because what you do cannot be separated from what you believe. In other words, here Jesus exposes those people who sounded religious, but had no personal relationship with him. My brothers and sisters, on Judgment Day, only our relationship with Christ, our acceptance of him as Savior, and our obedience to his will matter. And yet many people think that if they are good people and say some religious thing, they will be rewarded with eternal life. But in reality, faith in Christ is what will count on Judgment Day. Bottom line, coming to church or even church membership doesn't guarantee one's entrance into heaven. The only thing that guarantees heaven and eternal life is that you must be born again. And that's the only way one can, yes, Lord, and the only way one can be born again is by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's why the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Notice he doesn't say God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in Buddha, or whosoever believe in Confucius, or whosoever believe in Mohammed, or whosoever believe in Joseph Smith and the like will have everlasting life, but whosoever believe in Jesus Christ will not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And that's why Paul told that Philippian jailer who asked the question, men and brethren, what must I do to be saved? And Paul's reply was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Not because he was a good person or he deserved to be saved, but because of his faith in the finished work of Christ. Because no one deserves to be saved. And that's why the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8 that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Well, some good religious person may ask, well, you know, what do I need to be saved from? Because I'm a good person and I treat my fellow man right, and you know, I even attend church on a regular basis. Well, in salvation, which means deliverance, we are saved, delivered from, according to Romans 6:23, from the wages or the penalty or the payoff of sin, which is death eternal, eternal separation from God. For the text said, for the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Meaning all born again Christians, when we are saved, it doesn't mean that we live perfect lives, because everybody in the building, we sin, but we have been forgiven. And we haven't been forgiven for a little while, but we have been forgiven throughout eternity. But still someone may ask, well, but what if I commit a sin or fall into sin while I'm saved? Will I lose my salvation? No, because you see, Jesus said in John 10:28-30, he said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, or they shall never be lost, neither shall anyone be able to snatch them out of my hand. Why? Because he says in verse 21, he said, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And then in verse 30, he says, I and my Father are one. Because being born again doesn't make us perfect or sinless. And that's why the Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, then we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But then verse 9 of 1 John 1 gives us the remedy for sin. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, sin doesn't cause us to lose our salvation, but it puts us out of fellowship with the Lord. But guess what? Repentance and confession restores us back into the fellowship, and this is what we call sanctification. And that's why there's the threefold aspect of our salvation. Meaning in the past, I have been saved from the penalty of sin once and forever. And that's what we call justification. I've been justified. All the charges have been dropped from now throughout eternity. But now this only happens one time. But presently, Brother Buckner, I'm being being saved from the power of sin. That's called sanctification, because every time I mess up and every time I repent, every time I mess up, I slide off the altar. But when I repent and confess, the Lord pick me back up and set me back apart to himself. That's called sanctification. And this is an ongoing process until we die or until Christ returns, which brings about a future aspect of salvation, which is called glorification. And that's when we're delivered from not only from the penalty and power of sin, but then I'll be delivered from the very presence of sin, because I have on my new body. I have on my resurrected body. And so Jesus is the only way to heaven. But not only that, Jesus is the source of truth about heaven. Note the text says, I am the way and the truth. And in other words, not only is Jesus the only way to heaven, but he is also the only reliable source of truth about heaven. Because my brothers and sisters, there are many errors about heaven. Some think heaven is right here on earth, while still others think and teach that only 144,000 will go to heaven. But now my Bible says, according to Revelation 7:9, that after that 144,000 representing the 12 tribes of Israel were marked with the seal of God, John said, I saw another number. Yes, Lord, a number that no man could number, coming out of the east, coming out of the west, the north and south. Folk from every nation and every tongue, they were standing in front of the throne and the Lamb. And guess what? They were clothed in white robes, because they had been washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. But even more, we read in Revelation 20:5, it say, blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. For them, the second death, eternal damnation, have no power over them. Now, that tells me that there are going to be two resurrections. I don't know about you, but I want to be in the first one. And if the Bible is correct, I will be in the first one. Because the second resurrection, I won't know nothing about that. Are y'all here with me? But still, my brothers and sisters, there are those who think that heaven is only a state of mind. But Jesus, the source of all truth about heaven, says in verse 2 that heaven is a place. It's a place of many mansions, a dwelling place. It's a prepared place for prepared people, meaning only Christian can go there when they die. And so Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. My brothers and sisters, I don't care what anybody else says about heaven. I tell you, you can depend on Jesus, because he's the source of all truth about heaven. Somebody may wonder why Jesus is the only source about truth of heaven, because he's the only one who came down from heaven. That's what John 1:1-3 was talking about. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and everything was made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And this same creative Word, verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh, the Word became human, and it dwelt among us as the only begotten of the Father. Well, finally, Jesus is the source of life that continues in heaven. And my brothers and sisters, we need to know that life doesn't end at the grave, because whether you are saved or lost, you will spend eternity somewhere. But the good news is, right now you can choose where you will spend eternity. Now, we didn't have a choice of where we were going to be born. We didn't have a choice whether we would be black or white, nor did we have a choice of who our parents would be. We didn't have a choice of whether we'd be born rich or poor. But I tell you what you can choose, and that is where you will spend eternity. But we must do it before you die, because there is no salvation after death. For the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after come the judgment. Meaning there is no salvation or deliverance after death. And so if you die without the Lord, you'll be separated from him for all eternity. And I tell you one thing, my brothers and sisters, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, I tell you one thing, nobody know when you're doing your last. Nobody know when death will come creeping in. And so while you got a chance, you ought to come to the Lord. Are y'all here with me? Because not only is Jesus the way and the truth, but he's the source of life and life eternity. For the Bible says in John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then Jesus says again in John 6:35, he said, I am the bread of life. He who believes in me shall not hunger nor thirst. In other words, Jesus is able to satisfy our spiritual hunger as well as our spiritual thirst. But even more, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he or she be dead, yet shall they live. And that's why the Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians, it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ that he brings back with him, they'll receive their resurrected bodies first. And those of us who remain and alive will be caught up to meet them in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. And so as I try to move to the close, as the way, Jesus is the path to the Father, as the truth, he's the reality of all of God's promises, and as the life, he joins his divine life with ours, both now and eternally. Now, all this was made possible because one Friday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, he hung, bled, and died for your sins and mine. And after laying in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights, I tell you, somewhere between 12 midnight and early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power and heaven and earth in his hands. And after showing himself alive for some 40 days, he caught a cloud and he went back to glory. And right now he's seated on the right hand of the throne of God. He's waiting for that time when time that is being, it won't be no more. And when the trumpet sound, I don't know about you, but he gonna call my name. He won't call me Reverend. He won't call me Doctor. He'll just say, Servant. Oh, servant, servant, well done. You've been faithful over a few things, so just come on up just a little bit higher. Ain't God all right? It's because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, all fear is gone. Yes, Lord, because Jesus, he's the way to heaven. Jesus, he's the source of all truth. Jesus, he's the source of all life. in this life and the life to come. That's why he says in the word, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Oh, my brothers and sisters, if I was here this morning listening by way of radio, and if I didn't know where I would spend eternity, I'd do like the jailer. I'd come running down the aisle, send men and brethren, what might I do to be saved? Ain't God all right? I'm so glad you can come just as you are. He'll save you to the utmost. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad I know the way. I'm so glad I know the truth. I'm so glad I'm on my way. Yeah, Lord. Don't know when I'm gonna get there, but I'm on my way. I'm doing like Paul. Not as though I've reached perfection, but one thing I do, I forget those things that are behind, and I just press toward the mark of a high calling in Christ Jesus. Ain't God all right? One of these old days, when it's all over, can I look for you up there in glory? No more heartaches. Yeah, Lord, sickness or pain. God will wipe all tears from our eyes.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Not an hour, another day. But at this moment, with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way, as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me. I need you right away. I need. Never needed you before to show up and restore all of the faith that I left slip while I was yet searching the world for more. The truest friend I have indeed. You're my best friend I know in need. Not another minute, Lord. Can't wait another day, Lord.